All right, we are holding on Lamed Amud Beis, about three quarters of the way down the Amud by the two dots. The line begins Zidan. We said in the Mishnah, Amud of Shimon Gamliel, Lo Hoyu Yom Tovim Lisiro Kachamisha Asabi of Uchiyem Kippurim. We said that after we talked about Shivas of the Tammuz and Tisha B'av and all of the troubles and things of that, so we finished off that Rav Shimon Gamliel said there were no happier days for the Jewish people than Yom Kippur and the 15th above, and we described how the girls would go out and then dance in the vineyards and make shidduchim, etc. So first of all, the Gemara says, why those 2 days? B'shleimu Yom Kippurim. I can understand what's so special about Yom Kippur. B'shem de'ispe slicho mechila. It's a day, after all, when Hashem forgives and pardons our avedus. Yom shenitnu bo luchos ha'achronis. It's the day on which the second luchos were given. We said a couple of days ago that the eagle was made and the luchos were broken on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for a second time for 40 days and then for a third time, and he comes down on Yom Kippur with the second luchos. That is, in fact, why that day was established as the day of Slicho Mechila. So we understand why that's a tremendous Yom Kippur. El Tesvav Ba'av Maihi. What's so special about the 15th of Av that was saying there were no greater Yom Tovim than it? The Amr of Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to give several different explanations. The Mefarshim explain they're not going to be arguing with each other. Each one is going to be saying what he heard the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. In particular, the El Yerabba, one of the Pirushim on Shulchan Aruch, says that all of them agree with what we're going to say at the bottom of the Amud, that it was the day when the first special thing that happened on it was that Hashem started speaking with Moshe in a close way at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, like he had before. So definitely there's that. Everybody's arguing, what's the other thing? There have to have been at least two special things that happened on that day for it to be that there's no Yom Tov like it. So each one is going to quote from his Rebbe what was the major thing that happened on that day that makes it worthy of being considered such a major Yom Tov. Good morning, Yaakov. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavei Zeh Bazeh. It's the day when the Shvatim were allowed to freely intermarry among themselves. Meaning, at the very end of Chumash Bamidbar, the Torah tells us you have the Bnos Tzlafchad, we're going to be inheriting from their father. The leaders of Shevet Menashe come to Moshe Rabbeinu with a question: what's going to happen when they marry? Won't their nachla be taken away from the Shevet and go to their sons or their husbands or whatever, and then it'll leave our Shevet? And Moshe says, "You're right." Hashem says that you're right, and they have to marry within their Shevet. And now, eventually, on Chamisha Asa B'Av, they were matir that, and they said that anybody could freely marry into any other Shevet. My Jewish, what did they darshan to say that they should be allowed to? The pasuk says, "Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem b'nos tzlafchad v'gemer." This is the thing which Hashem commanded to b'nos tzlafchad, regarding b'nos tzlafchad. Meaning, so the zeh hadavar means davar zeh lo yehinoyik ela b'dor zeh. This concept that they should only be able to marry within their shevet only applied within that one generation. So therefore, so on Chamisha Asa B'Av, they came up with the heker for it. The Rashbam actually in Bava Basra, this Gemara is also in Bava Basra, in connection with Bnei Tzlochot over there. The Gemara, the Rashbam over there explains what it means is the last person of that generation passed away on the 15th of Av. However, the Gvura Sari has a question about that. It's not like, you know, in the Midbar they had defined days when they passed away. Funk, you're going to say the last person, it so happened, passed away on Chamisha Asa B'Av. So better, he says, that it means that the Chachamim came up with this heter on that day. Or there's even a different explanation that the heter itself was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Chachamim didn't publish it until that point. Whatever the case, the point is it only applied in that generation. So therefore, so what's the Simcha? So one way of understanding it is that now everybody can freely inherit from each other shevet. Marsha over there says actually it's an example of women's rights. Up until then, the men could marry whoever they want, but the women in cases like this were restricted. Now that there was this heter has been published, that now everybody can marry freely among any other yidden, then therefore it's like the women have a special simcha, and that's why we said in the Mishnah, and we're going to explain in the Gemara, that the women davka would be the ones who would go out dancing, because now they gained that right. Okay, so that's the first thing. Amr of Yosef.
What was the purpose to keep the women in one shevet? The purpose was that this way,
if not all women, only if a woman inherited property from her father, meaning if she was like Bnei Tzlachot, where there were only daughters. So the point was for the Nachla to remain within that one shevet, because otherwise she marries a man from another shevet. If she passes away without children, then her husband will inherit her. If they do have children, then the children will inherit her. But children go according to the father's shevet. So therefore, it'll be lost to that shevet. But the Chachamim figured out, or was told to Moshe to begin with, whatever, that once the first generation that came into Eretz Yisrael is gone, then that's not necessary anymore. Then they can freely intermarry among all the Shvatim. And if Nachla goes from one Shevet to another, it doesn't matter. At least to begin with, it was established that each Shevet has its own Nachla.
Before entry into Eretz Yisrael that was applied?
The mitzvah was given shortly before they entered Eretz Yisrael. It's at the very end of Parshas Bamidbar. So it lasted throughout the first generation of them being in Eretz Yisrael. After that, then it was no longer in effect. So that was the simcha. With that said,
Why couldn't they separate the people from the estate?
We just said every shevet is supposed to have a certain territory in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't want that any of that territory should be going from one shevet to another. But after the first generation, then that doesn't matter anymore. If territory moves from one shevet to another after the first generation, it's not a big deal. You want it to begin with that they should have, that each shevet should have its defined territory. I was going to say, even after this heter, the fact is we find from various places, it was still uncommon for women to do that. They had the heter too, but in practice, they still continued for a long time that such women would marry within their shevet. We find by Yiftach HaGiladi, where his mother is actually called Isha Zoyna, and I think the Targum, or one of the Meforshim, says over there, that she had married outside her shevet because it was still considered so then therefore the pasuk calls her by derogatory name like that because people thought of it as a derogatory thing. It still wasn't the usual thing to do. But lahalacha, as we're saying over here in the Gemara, it was allowed beginning from Chamisha Asaba of one of the early years when they were in Eretz Yisrael. So that was the simcha. Onward. Another explanation. Amr of Yosef, Amr of Nachman, Yoim Shahuta, Shevet Ben Yamin, Lave Bakohol. The Chavmish Asaba of is the day when Shevet Binyamin was re-allowed to intermarry with the Jewish people. So you have the whole story of Pilegash Begiva, where as a result of that, so there was a civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the other Shvatim, almost the whole Shevet Binyamin was wiped out. During the heat of that, while they were still, while the war was going on, they made a shvua, a public shvua, that nobody is going to be allowed to give their daughters in marriage to Bnei Binyamin. Now, after it was all over, and there was only 600 men left from Shevet Binyamin, the rest of the Jewish people started thinking, what are we going to do to prevent Shevet Binyamin from going extinct? So now they found a heter. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah lemer." The people of Yisrael, the rest of the Shvatim, had made a shvua, public shvua in mitzvah, in the name of the place where they had gathered. Lemer saying, "Ish mimenu lo yitin bitoy lebinyamin leisha." No man of us should give his daughter in marriage to Binyamin as a wife. So now on Chamisha Asaba of, they were able to come up with the heter. They realized that the Lashon was, we are not allowed to, but our children would. Meaning, in other words, so Rishonim say that there is, a tzibur does have the capability of taking on a shvua, which will bind their future descendants as well. So, for example, Yabchenim Deben Gershim was originally made to last, until the end of the fifth millennium, until the year 5000, and then Rabbeinu Tam renewed it for all time. So a tzibur does have the ability to take on a shvua that will bind their future generations as well. But here, since they had used the expression ish mimenu, then they realized there's a heter there that only we aren't allowed, but our children will. So, So once the next generation started to be born, then already that means that they're going to be able to give their daughters in marriage to Shevet Binyamin. So that was the simcha, therefore, that Binyamin has been fully readmitted into the Jewish people. A third one, Amar Rav Babachana Amar Rav Yechanan, Yoim Shekolaboy Meisei Midbar. A third thing that happened on Chamisha Asav Av, it's the day when the Meisim in the Midbar stopped dying. So we know that after the Chet Meraglim, Hashem had said that all the men 20 to 60 years old are going to pass away in the desert, and only their children will come into Eretz Yisrael, as we talked about the other day. So now, on Chamisha Asav Av, that ended. Now, why Chamisha Asav Av? So Rashi brings over here from a Yerushalmi on our Gemara over here. Every year, the original Chet Meraglim we said yesterday was on Tisha B'Av. So every year Tisha B'Av would be the defined date when a cohort of people from the 600,000 would pass away that year Tisha B'Av, the ones that had reached 60 years old. So every year, they would announce that everybody should go and dig graves for themselves. So they would go and dig a grave and go to sleep in it, because that way, if they die overnight, then that way they'll be in their grave already. And then the next morning, everybody who's alive would get up and leave, and everybody who had passed away, then they would bury. They would cover them with dirt. So now that 40th year, they did the same thing. The next day, Tisha B'Av morning, all of them woke up. All of them were still alive. So they didn't know what's going on. They thought maybe we miscalculated the date. Maybe it's not really Tisha B'Av. So they continued doing the same thing the following few days until Chamisha Asar B'Av. They saw the moon was full, and they realized the Gzeira was bottled. So they made that a Yom Tov, and that was a day of Simcha. And as the Gemara is going to say now, Hashem started speaking with Moshe in a close way that he had before. Tosfos briefly discusses over here, and in greater length Tosfos discusses in Bava Basra what exactly was going on over here. If we're going to say nobody passed away that last Tisha B'Av, then it comes out retroactively that the last of the dying was the previous year on Tisha B'Av. So then the Yom Tov shouldn't be the 15th of Av. The Yom Tov should be the 10th of Av of the previous year. So Rashi is not bothered by that. That's why Rashi explains over here that the main simcha is not so much that they stopped dying. The main simcha is that Hashem started speaking with Moshe in a close and loving way like he did before, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. However, Tosfos mentions over here in the Rashbam, and Tosfos discusses over there in Bava Basra, a couple of possibilities. One interesting one that Tosfos says over there is that what Hashem did is he reinterpreted the Gzeira in order to leave a certain group of people alive. Namely, the original Gzeira was that anybody from 20 to 60 years old is going to die in the desert. Now, what Hashem did is, in that last year, he reinterpreted it, only the ones who were fully 20 years old when the Chet Meraglim happened. So that leaves alive a bunch of people who would have been included in the Gzeira because they were in their 20th year, or because they were 20 already because they were 20 by the time of the Chet Meraglim, but they weren't 20 yet at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now Hashem reinterpreted that and left them alive. So therefore you have 15,000 odd people who otherwise would have been under the Gzeira and passed away, and instead they didn't, and therefore that was the Simcha. Tosfos also mentions, the fact is, it's not like people only passed away on Tisha B'Av. They did during the rest of the year as well. So what it is, Tosfos says over here, so that year, the last day that people passed away there in the desert was the 14th of Av. The 15th was the first day where there were no deaths at all, and therefore they made that a day of Simcha. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. So the Amamar, so we say in a Braisa, Ad Shalei Kolu Meisei Midbar, until all the Meisim in the desert passed away, who were supposed to have passed away, Lo Hayo Dibur Im Moshe. Hashem did not speak with Moshe. Now, all those years, Hashem did speak with Moshe, but not, Rashi says, the Yichud B'chiba, in like one-on-one and in a loving way like he had before. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, Vayhi kasha tamu kol anshei hamelchama lamus, when all the men of the army, meaning all the men from 20 to 60, had finished dying. And then the next Pasuk continues, Vayidaber Hashem Eli, Hashem spoke to me, meaning Eli hoya adibur, Hashem spoke to me directly again like before. So the point is, now you have, again, in there's many places in the Pesukim all over the Torah where it says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lamer, and some of them are during that period as well. But first of all, particularly in that parasha, in Parashas Dvarim, when Moshe is telling over what happened, for a while he uses the expression Vayomer, and now again he starts using Vaydaber, showing, in other words, that there was this distinction. So Rashi says that when it says Vaydaber previously, maybe it means it wasn't per el per, it wasn't like face to face, Chavyachol, like it had been before by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was only Bechezi and Laila, only that he saw it in visions by night. However, Rashi says on that Gimgum, it's a little hard to say that, that Moshe Rabbeinu should have been limited to Nevuas only by night. So Rashi doesn't really like that explanation, but the point is, in other words, there was some difference, so maybe it wasn't night versus day, but there was some kind of difference in the quality of Moshe's Nevuah, or in the quality of Hashem's closeness with Moshe during all those years after the Chet HaMeraglim. Rashi mentions at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, the idea is that a leader, a manig of the Jewish people, like Moshe Rabbeinu, gets his greatness from the Jewish people. So as long as all those years the Jewish people were, as long as Hashem was angry at them all those years for the Chet HaMeraglim, then therefore Moshe himself also lost some of his madriga during that time. So now, the point is, when he got that back, on Chamisha Asba'av, then that became a day of celebration. Okay. Another one, Ula Omar. Ula says, here's another thing happened, Chamisha Asba'av. Yom Shebitol Hesheya Ben Ela Prusdiyos Shehoshiv Yeravam and Nevatal Adrachim. It was the day when Hesheya Ben Ela, who was the last king of Malchus Yisrael, the last king of the Aseres HaShvatim, when he took away the guards, Prusias' guards, Shehoshiv Yeravam and Nevatal Adrachim, that Yeravam and Nevat had put on the road, along the roads, Shalayal Yisrael L'Regel, that the Jewish people shouldn't be Ola L'Regel. We mentioned this the other day, and Daf Chof Ches, that Yeravam didn't want people to be Ola L'Regel. He's concerned about what's going to happen if they go to Yerushalayim and they see Rechavam, the king of Yehuda, sitting and he himself standing, etc., etc. Anyway, so he set up his Egle Azad and Basel and Dun, and he set up guards to physically prevent people from going to Yerushalayim. We talked about the other day how some people managed to sneak by with various trickeries. Anyway, the point is that now, over 200 years later, Hosea ben A, the last king of Israel, finally removed those guards. The Omar, and he announced, La'ezer sheyirtzu yalu. He said they can go to whichever they want. Meaning, in other words, he was still a Rasha. So he didn't take away the Egle Azav altogether and tell the people, no more Egle Azav, you have to go to Yerushalayim and then bring your Korbanos and daven to Hashem over there. But the Pasuk does say on him, it says, Vayas hara be'en Hashem, rak loik malcha Yisrael. It says, however, he was not as bad as the previous malcha Yisrael. So that's the thing. So he was not as bad in that he took away these guards, but he was still bad in that he didn't tell them, you have to go to Yerushalayim. He left the choice in their hands. So, mind you, the Gemara tells us in Gittin that it kind of, what happened was then many of the Jews did not take advantage of that. They still continued going to the Egle Hazav, and that caused Hashem to say, you know what, at least until now they had an excuse. If they're asked in the Beis in Tramayla, why don't you go to Yerushalayim? Well, there were guards in the way, I would have been risking my life. Now they don't have that excuse anymore, and when they didn't start going to Yerushalayim, then Hashem decided, okay, in that case, that means that we have to make a complete golos. We have to completely, that's the end of their kingdom. In fact, Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim say as much. It describes how Chizkiyahu, who was the king of Yehuda at that time, invited people from the Aseres HaShvatim to come to Yerushalayim and celebrate Pesach with them. And the Pasuk says many people laughed at them. But the Pasuk goes on to say that some people did come. And so therefore, that's the Yomtiv, the fact that now they were enabled to come. Those who wanted to come were now able to, where before they weren't. That was the Yomtiv of Chamisha Asabal.
Why did they laugh at them?
They were used to, over 200 years, they were used to the idea that we go to the Egle Azav, we don't go to Yerushalayim. Yeravam had done a good job propagandizing them that Yerushalayim is not the place to go, that Basel and Don are. So now, 200 years later, when Chizkiyahu's messengers are coming to them and telling them that, you know, Yerushalayim is a real place to go, that's where Hashem's Shekhinah is. So not everybody was receptive to that message. But we're saying some people were. So therefore, so that's the simcha, the fact that they were enabled to. So even if, unfortunately, not everybody took advantage of it, but the fact that they were able to now, and the fact that some people did, in fact, take advantage of it, that's the simcha.
And why just to the Aseret HaShvatim? Why not just to the old Jewish people?
They were already in his kingdom. Yehuda and Binyamin were already in his kingdom. He didn't have to specially invite them. They were anyway coming to Yerushalayim, but he did anyway. I mean, he wanted everybody to come. But the point is, he specially sent messengers to the Aseret HaShvatim, telling them, look, you know, for the last 200 years, you guys have been going to Beis Del and Don, but you should know that Yerushalayim is really Hamokam Asher Yivchar Hashem. So come there. So yeah. All right, another one. Rav Masna Amar. Rav Masna says yet another thing about Hamisha Asbav. Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beito LeKvora. The 15th of Av is the day when the Jews who were killed in Beitar were allowed to be buried. We talked about the other day. We said in the Mishnah that one of the five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av is that the city of Beitar was conquered by the Romans, and the Jews in there were killed, and huge numbers of Jews. The Gemara in Gittin and the Yerushalmi over here talk about the staggering numbers of Jews who were killed over there. And then what happened was, so afterwards, Adrianus, the Roman emperor of that time, wouldn't allow them to be buried. So finally, now on Chamisha Asba'av, many years later, they finally got permission from the government to be able to bury them. The Omer of Masna, and in fact, the Masna says, Oseyem Shenitnu Haruge Beitar LeKvura, on the day when the people who had been killed in Beitar were finally allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna Tov V'Ametiv. At that time, the Chachamim in Yavna established the Bracha Tov V'Ametiv, which is the fourth Bracha of Benching. It's also, you have the bracha tov v'ametiv also, that you say when you have a different kind of wine brought to the table. But in particular, that we have that it's the fourth bracha of benching, the Chachamim established it at that time. And why the expression hatov v'ametiv, hatov shalai hisrichu, the word hatov refers to the fact that all those years the bodies didn't decay, v'derech nes, v'ametiv shenitnu l'kvura, and that Hashem does good, meaning implying for others as well, meaning that they were finally able to be buried. Now Tosfa says, so why did they make that specifically why did they specifically make this bracha associated with wine? So the Yerushalmi over here explained that after all those Jews were killed, Adrianus ordered that all the bodies should be stacked up around, he had a large vineyard in that area, he ordered that all the bodies should be stacked up around it as a fence. So a fence around a vineyard. So now all those years later, when they were finally able to take down that fence and then that so-called fence, and bury these Jews, then the Chachamim established a bracha in gratitude for that associated with wine. So therefore, so we say it when there's a new kind of wine brought to the table, we say Atov Ametiv, and we say it in benching, where after all, benching is meant to be alakos. You're supposed to bench with holding a cup of wine, so therefore there's that association as well. So that happened on Chamisha Asba'av. Reb Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, by the way, has a very interesting point that he says in his Pirush on Chumash, why it is that, why did the Chachamim find it, why this more than anything else that happened in Jewish history that they're adding to benching? And he says, basically, when you're benching, you're going through you talk about Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis on every person and every creature, how he provides food for everybody individually. That's the first bracha. Then you talk about the hashgacha that Hashem has on us as a nation, which is the second bracha, and how Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael and gave us Bris and Torah and so forth. Then you have the ultimate of being in Eretz Yisrael is having Malchus Beis David and the Beis Mikdash, which is the theme of the third bracha. Now the Chachamim found it necessary. So what happened? What precipitated this whole thing with Beitar and with all those Jews killing there was the attempt by Ben Kuziva, known as Bar Kochba, to reestablish Jewish kingship on his own. And the Chachamim even thought he was Mashiach, etc. So now after that, the Chachamim found it necessary to add this bracha to benching. He says, in order to remind us once and for all, we don't get our own nationhood and our own independence by our own efforts. We do it by Hashem helping us, not by us going and fighting on our own like they tried to do. And therefore, they put this bracha in benching to remember this for all time, he says. Going back to the Gemara, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef to Amitavayu, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef say, here's another happy event that takes place on Chamisha Asbav, Yom Shaposku Melichris Eitzim Amarocha. It's the day when they stopped cutting wood for the wood pile of the Mizbeach. We talked about the other day that you have the Zman Atzei Kodem Ba'am, you have the various times during the year when individual families would bring wood for the Mizbeach. So we're saying that they needed wood throughout the year. But after the 15th of Av, they would stop cutting wood for the Ma'aracha. And the reason is because, the Gemara is going to give the reason now. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadoloimer, Mechamisha Osa Ba'av Ve'elech Toshash Kercha Shochama, from the 15th of Av and onward, the power of the sun is weakened. It's starting to get to be the end of the summer, and therefore the sun's heat is not as intense as it was before. So they no longer cut wood for the Ma'aracha, Lafisha and Innovation, because the wood is not dry. And if it's not dry, then worms may grow in it. And wood that has worms in it is possible to be brought on the Mizbeach. So therefore, after the 15th of Av, they no longer would cut wood. So they had to cut the supply of wood for the Beis Mikdash. They had to finish it by the 15th of Av. So why is that a day of celebration? So the Rashbam in Baba Basra explains that now they're celebrating the fact that they finished an important mitzvah. So anytime you finish an important mitzvah is a time of celebration, like when you make a siyum on a masechta. And the Rabbeinu Gershom says they were a different point that also up until now they're busy cutting wood, so they had less time to learn Torah. Now that they're finished cutting wood, then they have more time to learn Torah, and therefore that's the celebration. Omer of Menashe of Akorolei Yom Tovah Magol. Rav Menashe says, in fact, they had a name for that day. They would call it the day of the breaking of the axes. Meaning, now that they don't need the axes anymore to chop wood for the Beis Mikdash, then they would break the axes. Now, there are, here we're talking in our Gemara over here about Chamisha Asba'av. There are a huge number of sichas over the years where they've ever analyzed different things about Chamisha Asba'av and about different details of what we're saying over here in the Gemara. So in one of them, the Rebbe discussed this point about that we're saying that they finished cutting the wood, and the Rashbam's point that the simcha was that they finished the mitzvah, and all of this, and particularly, why do they have to break the axes? Why can't they just save them for next year or something? Okay, they can't use the axes for other mundane purposes because they're axes of Hekdesh, but why do they need to break them? And the Rebbe discusses at some length over there in the Sicha that the Simcha is that now, like the Rashbam says, they're finished doing the mitzvah for the year. They have all the wood supply they need. Now also what they're doing is they're saying up until now axes are made out of the blade of the axe, the head of the axe is made out of iron. Iron, we know, is not supposed to be anywhere near the Mizbeach, because iron is used for weapons that shorten people's lives, and the Mizbeach is meant to lengthen people's lives. So up until now, the axe had a positive purpose, namely to chop wood for the Beis Mikdash. Now that positive purpose has been accomplished, now they would break the axe, symbolizing the idea that now we've used it for all the positive purposes that it needs, now we don't need it anymore, now we can be closer to the times of Mashiach, when, as we say, that all the weapons will no longer exist. So therefore, in token of that, they would break the axes. And then he also, the Rebbe also in that and other sichas talks about the idea of Toshash Kercha Shochama, that it means symbolically, it means the Chama represents the Goyim. We say in Masechta Sukkah that the Goyim count their calendar according to the sun, as opposed to we count it according to the moon. So Toshash Kercha Shochama also represents the idea that the power of the Goyim is weakened on that day. And therefore we're saying now where worms, which actually symbolize the Jewish people, would have more ability to flourish over there. So therefore, in terms of Eitzim for the Ma'aracha, we stop at that point. But the point is we're symbolizing that now the power of Goyishkeit, the power of Tumah in the world, has now been weakened. So that's another reason for the simcha of Chamisha Asabal, because of all of this. So the Gemara continues, Mikan ve'elach, from then on, from the 15th of Av and on, Demosif Yosef, anybody who adds time to learning Torah, because like this, the nights are starting to get longer, so when you take time during your night to learn Torah, then Yosef, he will increase his life. His life will be lengthened. Or Deloy Moisif, Yosef. And as somebody who doesn't increase in Torah, Yosef. So what is Yosef? Turning of Yosef, my Yosef. Amar of Yosef, Tikbre Ime. Means his mother will bury him. In other words, he's going to pass away young. Tosfos, but now you have the parenthesis over here, and Tosfos says that the Gemara knew very well what Yosef means. It's like you have in this week's parasha by Yigba by Yosef Alamav. So it's more what the Lashon was more Deloy Moisif Yosef. So then what does Yosef mean? And Rabbi Yosef explains in Tikkur Ime. Why Dafka's mother should bury him? Marashar explains. You have, for example, with Shlomo HaMelech, where you have the whole story over there where he slept in and his mother came and gave him Musar and yelled at him and told him off that what are you doing drinking and sleeping in, et cetera, et cetera. So a person who sleeps in and doesn't take his time by night to learn Torah and his mother doesn't do a good job of waking him up and telling him you have to get up and learn Torah. So what happens is therefore she ends up losing him, Rahman al-Islam. But the point is, in other words, that we're saying from the 15th of Av and onward, since the nights are getting longer, so you have more time available, you take time from your night to learn Torah. There's a fact of an expression that's brought in Sfarim in this connection that goes, Mishichvi v'ad kumi shichvi, umikumi ad shichvi kumi. Which means, you have a pasuk in Megillat Rus that says, Shichvi ad haboker, where Boaz tells Rus, lie here until the morning. So from Shichvi, from Shavuos, until Kumi, until Tisha B'Av, when we have a pasuk in Eicha that says, Kumi, you're going to need a Laila, get up and then cry out in the night. So during those times, between Shavuos and Tisha B'Av, then fine, Shichvi, you can be sleeping by night, because the nights are short, and you don't have much time in them anyway, you're not going to have time to learn Torah as well as to sleep. But from Kumi, from Tisha B'Av onward, or he was saying from Chamish Asar B'Av onward, when you say Kumi in Megillas Eicha until the following year Shavuot, when you say Shichvi, is the time to be getting up by night and learning Torah. Because again, the nights are longer, so you have enough time to be able to learn Torah during part of the night and still get a decent amount of sleep by night. So according to Rabbeinu Gershom, by the way, that's the direct connection that we're saying between this and the previous thing. He says the whole simcha of the 15th of Av, that they're not cutting the wood anymore, is precisely that now they have the time to learn Torah more. So now the Gemara is stressing that point. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Shabahen b'nos Yerushalayim pola. We said that the girls from Yerushalayim, the unmarried girls, would go in white dresses and dance in the vineyards. And the Mishnah had said that everybody borrows a dress from somebody else. Why is that? We'll see in the Gemara. So Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Bas Melech She'elet and Bas Kohen Gadol, the daughter of the king, even though she, of course, has white dresses of her own, she borrows from the next status down, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, because as the Gemara is going to finish off, in order not to embarrass somebody who doesn't have like this, everybody has borrowed clothes. So like this, nobody is embarrassed that she had to borrow a dress. So the king's daughter borrows from the Kohen Gadol's daughter, Bas Kohen Gadol and Bas Zgan, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol borrows from the daughter of the next one down, the Zgan Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol. She in turn borrows from a daughter of the Kohen Mashuach Mochama, the one who's anointed for the purpose of that he's the one who makes the announcement before they go to war about the people have to go home if they planted a house or built a vineyard, etc., and that they shouldn't be afraid. Obas Mashuach Mochama Bas Kohen Hedyot, she would borrow from the daughter of a Kohen Hedyot. Obviously, we're assuming that each one of them had daughters. If not, then of course they'd skip as necessary. B'chol Yisrael, Shoel and Zemezeh, the rest of the Jewish people, everybody borrows from each other. Kedesh lo yisbayish es misha ein lo, in order not to embarrass somebody who doesn't have. There is, in fact, an explanation, even when it says B'chol Yisrael, means that the boys also would be borrowing garments. We're saying that the boys would go to these vineyards, and that's how Shiduchim would be made. So they also, they want to wear clean, white clothes for the purpose. So therefore, so there's an explanation that means that they would also be borrowing from each other, even though the Mishnah had only mentioned B'nois Yerushalayim. By the way, we talked about in the Mishnah that the Kolboy and a couple of other Mephoshim say, is that a way to make Shiduchim, that they're going to be dancing in the vineyards and the boys are going to be picking them individually? How is that theistic? And the answer is that essentially this was meant for girls who otherwise were having a hard time finding shidduchim, so they would go on these times on Yom Kippur and on Chamisha Asa B'Av and do this. But regular girls who were able to find who their fathers were able to marry them off in the regular way, then of course they would do that. We said in the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Te'unin Tevila. We said that all the dresses have to be toveled. So, and we said because one of them might be a nidah or something. That applies even if the dress was up until now folded up and put away in a box. So she hasn't worn it in a long time. Nevertheless, they still had to tovel it. Again, in order not to embarrass anybody who was a nidah and who needed to tovel their dress. In fact, actually, Rabbeinu Gershom points out, even if it was folded up in a box, conceivably, she might have sat on there at some point while she was in Nidah, and therefore, and then it would be Tomei, and it would be Matame, whoever wears it. Okay. We said, B'nois Yisro Yotzis V'cholos V'krom, and we said the Jewish girls would go and dance in the vineyards. By the way, the vineyards themselves, I mean, you have a bunch of grapevines over there, there's no real room to dance, but there's generally a space, there's generally an empty space between the end of the vineyard and the wall around the vineyard. In fact, there's a name for it in Halacha, it's called Mechol HaKerem, which is related to the word Cholas Bakramim over here. So, it could be sometimes even as much as 12 amos, the Mishnayos and Kalayim talk about, so there would be room over there around the edges of the vineyard over there for them to dance. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Misha Ein Laisha Nifne Lasham. Any boy who didn't have a wife yet would go over there and find one who's a suitable shidduch for him. And we said now Miuchasis Shabana Hayo Omer's Bachelor. The ones among them who had yichus would say, as it says in the Mishnah, lift up your eyes and see who you're choosing. Now, the Mishnah did not, in fact, use the word miyuchas shebehen. The Mishnah said generically that the women would say, that these girls would say, bachur sonoi nechavazayma. So now, the Gemara is going to spell out that there were different groups there. Tana Rabbanan, yufeifias shebehen maho yoimris. What did the beautiful girls there say? They would say, tnuei nechem layoifi. They would tell the boys, pay attention to the beauty. She'ena isha ela l'yofi, because the purpose of a wife is to have a beautiful person with you. So therefore, in other words, they're promoting themselves. We're the ideal shidduch for you. Miuchasas shebehen ma'ayor emes. What about the ones who had yichus? So they're not necessarily so beautiful physically, but they come from families of great yichus. They would say ma'ayor emes tnuy nechem l'mashpacha. Pay attention to the family. Lafisha ena isha el olabonim, because the purpose of having a wife is that you're going to have children. And Rashi says, in other words, the point is, if your children are miyuchasim, then when it comes time for their shidduchim, a generation from now, then everybody will want to marry them because of their yichus. So therefore, you have an advantage in that. Mucho'oris shebehem mahayu omris. What would the ugly girls say? They would say, k'chum mechachacham l'shem shamayim, whoever you're going to take, whichever shidduch you're going to take, do it l'shem shamayim, meaning don't focus on the externals such as the beauty or the yichus, but rather do l'shem shamayim. Uvelvad shekat tzurunim b'zehuvim, but as long as you're going to decorate us with gold coins, meaning in other words, Rashi says it doesn't literally mean gold coins. It means in other words that you're going to give us nice clothing and nice jewelry. Which Mephoshim say on that, actually, in other words, the point is they were hinting at an idea that it says in a Mishnah in Nedarim that Jewish women are beautiful, are intrinsically beautiful, but some of them are poor, and therefore, so that disfigures them, because they don't have the ability to dress nicely and take care of themselves nicely. So they're saying to the boys that even if right now we don't seem so physically attractive, but if you take care of us, then you'll see our true inner beauty. In another one of those sichas, the Rebbe analyzes this whole thing in some detail. So first of all, by the way, so again, in the Mishnah, you didn't really have all of this distinction. In the Mishnah, you just had that all the women are saying the same thing. So in fact, just so the Vilna Gaon, for example, understands that, yeah, the Mishnah is mainly focusing on the second group over here, on the ones who are saying the Mishpacha. but there was Treina Isha Lulabonim. And the Gemara, the Braisa over here is spelling out that they were actually different groups. On the other hand, many of the Mechoshim say that the Mishnah itself is hinting at all three groups. The ones who say, Sonai Necho Re'emata Borelach, lift up your eyes and see who you're choosing are the beautiful girls. The ones who say, Al Titin Necho Benoi Ten Necho B'Mishpacha are the ones who are Miyachosim. And the ones who are saying, as the Mishnah continues, Sheker Achein Ve'Hevel Ayoti, Isha Yiras Hashem Yitisalo, are the ones who are the Mechoris, the girls over here that were saying in the third group of the Braisa who are not so attractive. So there's a sicha where the Rebbe analyzes the deeper ideas behind this. The ones who are beautiful means they're not only beautiful, but gashmias. That beauty, the gashmias, represents the beauty that they had, beruchnias. And in particular, the fact that, they have that ruchnias ticket and gashmias ticket beauty, but also they have the advantage of being descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So therefore, they're from a very important mishpacha, and therefore they say, tnuei nechem a mishpacha. Then you have the miyuchasis, who they may not have that particular advantage of their own, but they have the advantage of the fact that they're Jewish girls, that they have the yichus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and so forth. And therefore, they're saying, pay attention to that. Eina isha el labanim. And if you marry us, then you'll have children who will continue in that way of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then the mechu'aris is, so the vote is, they don't have that beauty which shows on their beauty, beruchnius. It may not even be so visible on them that so much that they have the advantage of being Jewish girls, but that itself brings out a certain bittul and a certain merirus by them realizing that they're not where they should be, and therefore they're stressing the point that do it l'shem shemayim. In other words, the implication seems to be, help us become who we should really be ourselves, so that we're not mechu'aris anymore, so that our inner beauty that we have as Jewish women, and our inner yichus that we have as Jewish women, should be able to be evoked. And so we're saying that each group had their own vote to say. In that connection about what will be accomplished by marrying them. The Gemara finishes off. Omar Ula Beira, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Osi that Kadosh Baruch Hu lasses mochol tzaddikim. In the future, Hashem will make a sukkah dance for the tzaddikim. So the pashtus, of course, one connection is over here that we just mentioned the dances that the Benoisi Yerushalayim would do. So now we're mentioning a similar thing that will be la osid lavay. And more generally, some of the Mephoshim say that now we spent a whole Masechta talking about how we're davening to Hashem and we're fasting to Hashem and we're begging Hashem to help us with various troubles and things that we have. So now we're talking about that, yes, Hashem does reciprocate and Hashem does have us surrounding him, have the tzaddikim surrounding him. And they all have a very close relationship with Hashem. So, v'hu yoshev b'nei Gan Eden, he sits among them in Gan Eden. V'chol echad v'echad mara be'etzvoy, every person is pointing with his finger. Now, here you have Rashi and Tosfos have two different explanations of what the Gemara means. Rashi says that each one points with his finger, kavyachol, he points at his finger at Hashem, kavyachol, and says the pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote over here is Zeh Hashem kibinu loy. This is Hashem for whom we hoped that he would save us. So in other words, Rashi is saying that each of them is able to point with their finger at Hashem, Kaviyachol, and be able to say this pasuk. Tosfos, on the other hand, has the expression, Mara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzvoy, that the other way around, each one of the tzaddikim, Hashem, Kaviyachol, points with his finger. And there's no saying at all, there's just that everybody is there, and Hashem is singling out every person by pointing at them with his finger, Kaviyachol, but not that they're actually saying anything. So Shedema, the pasuk says, "V'omar b'yemahu," they'll say on that day, "Hinei elakeinu zeh," behold, this is our God. Kivinu loy v'yeshenu, we hope for him all this time that he would save us. Zeh Hashem kivinu loy, this is Hashem for whom we hope. Nagilav nismach abishuasei, let's rejoice and be happy with his saving us. So therefore, so according to Rashi, the tzaddikim themselves are saying this pasuk. According to Tosfos, they're not saying that the Gemara, the narrative of the Gemara, is telling us why they're going to be having this, why Hashem is going to, why they're going to be standing or dancing around the Shechina and Hashem pointing at them. There's yet another sicha where the Rebbe talks about, this is another siyum on Tainus, where the Rebbe talks about that the idea is, we were just talking about the various groups of women and the advantage that each one has over the other. One has one has beauty representing ruchniistic beauty as well, and another one has yichus, and another one has the bittul and has the bittul and the merirus that leads a person to a higher level. So now, in keeping with that, we're talking about the various tzaddikim, each one on their own level. We're according to Rashi, therefore, each one is saying some, is saying this, these words, and therefore being mashpia on the other tzaddikim around them. Whereas according to Tosfos, we're talking about at a level where none of them is being mashpia on each other. All of them are standing over there with a bittul telekus, and therefore Hashem is the one pointing at them, but they're not speaking. Because we're talking about on a level, not so much a level. I mean, there is a level of bittul, but in other words, the point is, we're talking about a level, according to Tosfos, where all of them are the same, unlike according to Rashi, where we're talking about, we're focusing on each one's individual level in Avodah. There are, in that connection, by the way, there's a vote that's brought from various Achronim, from Rakiva Eger and others, that the reason why we're comparing them to being in a circle around Hashem is, in a circle, everybody is facing in a different direction. But you need all of them in order for the circle to be complete. So it represents the idea how every tzaddik and every kehillah of Jews has their own path in Avodah, but all of them are surrounding Hashem. All of them are an equal distance from Hashem, and all of them are necessary in order for the circle to be complete. So also representing the idea of Achdus, which the whole idea of was saying that a good part of what was going on Chamisha Asar B'Av is celebrating the Achdus of the Jewish people, which goes back to also all the things we talked about, all the happy things that happen on Chamisha Asar B'Av. So first of all, it talks about in Chassidus in many places that the idea is Chamisha, in general, the 15th of every month is the one where you have the greatest power of that month, because that's when the moon is full. So particularly in Av, when you had the greatest descent of the Jewish people by the Churban twice, so therefore Chamisha Asar B'Av, when you have the full power of the moon in that month, then that becomes the greatest simcha. And in fact, we see how each one of these things that we mentioned before about Chamisha Asar B'Av counteracts something having to do with the Churban. We said the Chet Meraglim was on Tisha B'Av. The counterpart to that was that now they stopped dying and Hashem started speaking in a loving way to Moshe Rabbeinu again. The Beitah was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Now, many years later on Chamisha Asar B'Av, they were finally able to bury the people who were killed and so forth. So each one of them represents something where we're undoing something of the negativity of Tisha B'Av, and all of them also represent things that where they brought greater achdus among the Jewish people. For example, we're saying that now all the Shvatim can freely intermarry. Not only they can freely intermarry, but it means that now each Shevet has, so to speak, an equal right to the whole Eretz Yisrael. Shevet Binyamin has been readmitted, and now they can freely marry with other intermarry with other Shvatim as well, and so forth. So Chamisha Asar B'Av represents a time of achdus among Jewish people. So therefore, that's another reason then that's what we're saying was why we're comparing the tzaddikim around Hashem to a circle where they're all standing ba'achdus, all at an equal distance from Hashem, and each one contributing their own thing to this. And then again, the craft that Abba explains, that's Rashi's shita over here, that each one is actually contributing by actually saying Zeh Hashem Kivinu Loi, meaning that each one is being mashpia on the other one. Hadran halach b'shloish ha'perakim ha'slikol ha'masech ha'taymas.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
I just give you this.